Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show.
I don't think we've ever played Smash Mouth on this show before, but
yeah.
Now we have.
I love Shrek.
The Shrek song.
And he's taking
play,
a dump in the...
play Shrek!
The out by the outhouse.
Hey, Smash Mouth! Play the Shrek song!
Watch him eat the bugs with the little Shrek kids.
Play Shrek! Hey, donkey! Okay. This is David Price continuing to speak yesterday on the All-Star Game because David Price may be going to the All-Star Game.
How many pitchers do you think are capable of making the All-Star team?
Pitchers?
Yeah.
One. Sale? I ain't going. I'm not an all-star.
Kimbrel?
Yeah, Craig. I mean, Craig's going to get his vote. I didn't vote for Craig because it's Craig Kimbrel. He's going to get his vote. So I voted for Joe. Joe and Barnes.
Joe who?
I did vote for Craig. But Joe Barnes and Craig are the who I voted for. But Craig doesn't need votes. His name's going to get him in.
The way you're pitching, how do you think? Don't you think the manager will select you?
I feel like if he did, it would just be to get me to throw an extra inning. You know, that would be a pretty pro move on his part. But I'll come up with something. If I am an all-star, that I won't have to pitch. I play a lot of Fortnite, you know, the night before, so I'll be down.
Oh, boy. This guy. I'll keep rooting for him. For Joe who? For what?
Kelly. Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly.
For what?
Craig Kimbrel for the All-Star game.
He voted for Joe Kelly.
This guy's a dick, man. I just can't slice it any other way.
Just defiant. I'm sitting there missing with Johnny. That puts a work in.
There's nothing to do with Johnny. It could have been anybody asking that question.
Yeah, but still.
That was the same answer he'd give to anybody. It had nothing to do with who was asking.
No respect for anybody.
Yeah. He's a petulant little child. That's what he is. He's going to keep bringing up his video games and his carpal tunnel and all the stuff that he created. No one created that for him. He created that for himself.
Is there any negativity to any of these questions?
Do you know what else? Everyone criticized him for saying it was in his head and it wasn't real. Look at the way he's pitched since.
Beat writer's going to continue to kiss his ass.
Right. Who's kissing his ass, though?
I mean,
who?
Are these hard questions at all? Now, Johnny's not a beat writer. I'm saying they all come to David's defense. Well, look at the splits.
It's easy to defend what he's done on the field. It's not about that.
He's been good.
The guy.
Where did this thing turn? This is part of his illness.
He's so unlikable.
Yeah.
He's so wholly unlikable. Is what he is.
How does he hold a room?
He can't
how do you get the attention of young guys? Like, if you care about baseball,
do you know
you
what
care
it is?
About the game.
He's stubborn. He doesn't want anybody to praise him. He wants no one to say nice things about him. Wants nobody to say anything nice about him. He'd rather be great and have you sit there and say you suck still. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. That's his comfort spot. Sean's in Brockton on David Price.
What's up, Sean?
Go ahead.
Hey, I just had a comment, though. I think, you know, every time this guy is a jerk, the more of a jerk he is, the more hurt he is. So it'll be interesting tonight just to see if he is a little bit dinged up, because when this guy's not going good, he cries like a kid. So I'm telling you, he
may not
be.
I disagree. I think it's a jerk reverse.
The entire time he's been here. What are you talking
about? When and where?
What, every time he's hurt, that's when you see him acting more like a jerk. When he did the thing with Eckersley, he was hurt right after that. When he did the thing earlier this year, he's hurt right after it. I'm telling you, every time this guy starts crying and acting like a jerk, that's when he's hurt.
Well, mentally hurt, because we know physically that the problems are not as severe as it's been made out to be. It's between his ears.
Oh, I have carpal tunnel. I'm hurt.
I don't know. When you act
play,
like this.
I can't start. Oh, I have allergies. Oh, I go to the doctor, and then I come back, and I go on a run.
Yeah.
What the hell? So you weren't that hurt, were you?
Right.
The hell's going on?
He can't go out and get knocked out tonight based on these comments. It's almost like I disagree there. I think he feels the other way, where he feels good and he knows he's going to go out and pitch well.
I don't think there's a correlation. I think he's acted like an a-hole for much of his time here.
It'll be
interesting. It's been a roller coaster.
If there is a correlation, because the Yankees are right down the pipe.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Dodge him again.
From
I dare
now,
you.
Right?
Dare you in a city to dodge him again.
They've got, or what is it? The first, you said?
Yep.
Sunday,
July
1st. If he stays on the same rotation, yeah.
Yep. So 11 days from now, 11
Jess Mendoza,
days from now,
the cookie
Sunday
zone.
Night Baseball would be priced against the Yankees. Let's see if he makes the start. Let's see if he makes that start. Ah, my allergies! Ah, my hands!
Yankees
are crushing
my arm! Right
now. Oh,
perfect.
What was the deal with the Kimbrel stuff, by the way?
I played too much. Yeah, did
was
he vote
shots?
For him or not?
Are those shots at Kimbrel?
I think he realized in his head, oh, they're going to say something if I don't vote for Kimbrel. Yeah. Somebody's going to say something, so I have to go back on
that's
it and
exactly
say I didn't vote
what he
for
did.
Him.
He said, I didn't vote for him because he doesn't need the votes. Then he said, oh, I did vote for him.
Well, I didn't vote for Craig because it's Craig Kimbrel. He's going to get his votes, so I voted for Joe and Barnes. I did vote for Craig, but Joe Barnes and Craig are the two I voted for.
Hold on. Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
I need you to pull something for me, Jim. I need you
this
to pull
man is sick.
Rick James saying he didn't put his feet up on the couch.
I put a couch.
Because that's what that is. I got more sense. I didn't put my feet up on his couch. I got more sense than that.
Wait,
yeah, I put my feet up on his couch. What? You are crazy. You are legitimately crazy, David Price. You've lost your mind.
This is like hysterical. It really is.
Rewind the tape. What?
This dude's tapped.
He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. He's mental.
I'm watching Bill Roth. I'm watching this Rothstein guy last night. Now I'm starting to think this guy's whacked. Tapped. These are tapped people. Like loony bin. Like, who would even go out of their way to sit next to him on a plane? Like, I'd sit next to that guy. He's nuts. That's your leader?
Let's go to Mills in Duxbury. Millsy!
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, listen, so I just want to tell you a very brief story, which was really unfortunate. Last year, I was in San Antonio for a business meeting. The only hotel you'd stay at in San Antonio. Anyway, long story short, Mrs. Price was there for a conference, a theological conference. I just happened to be sitting next to him at the bar. And what happened was this, and I'm the biggest Boston sports fan as you can find. The first two or three times he pitched when he first came here, he put them up just down the street in the hotel. You know which hotel I'm probably talking about. His dad loves seafood. Whatever.
Where is this going?
I'll tell you. They're walking from the ballpark past the cask down to the hotel, and what they heard is what you might imagine they heard from drunk fans talking about it behind their backs. They didn't know who they were. It did not get off to a good start. It happened two or three times, dropping a word that we do not want to talk about.
What? Okay, I don't know.
So that's just such a common thing outside the cask where everybody's having a good time during a day baseball game and people are walking by.
Yes.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to scream the word out at people.
Stop.
Yeah.
I just did things just to do them. Come on. I mean, what am I going to do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch? like it's you know, something to do. Come on. I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet in Eddie's couch.
That's it.
There he is.
He is Rick James.
He's Rick James.
No, I didn't know. I got more sense of that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet up on his couch.
I mean, Craig's going to get his vote. I didn't vote for Craig because it's Craig Kimbrel. He's going to get his vote. So I voted for Joe and Barnes. I did vote for Craig.
That's not edited. We didn't do anything with that. We did not edit that. That is unedited. That is how it played out. That is what he did. That is how that went. Rob and Chelsea. Hey, Rob.
Yeah, 2 years ago when Dombrowski traded Price to Toronto, remember, from Detroit?
Okay, yep.
Yeah. David Price beat the Yankees five times, either four or five times in a row down the stretch. He was 9-1. 9-1 against the down the stretch when it counted. I'd take David Price in a heartbeat.
Rob, hello, Rob. You're the Yankee fan,
you know
right?
What I mean?
You're the Yankee
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, I'm a
Rob.
Yankee fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what?
I'd
you
take
got.
Him in a heartbeat.
You can have him. You can have him, Rob. In fact, tell Brian Cashman to call Dave Dombrowski and make your move. And I'll tell you
yeah,
why that is.
Take the center fielder too.
I'll tell you why that is completely irrelevant. I can go back and check what the starts were and how he did. Because that's not a rivalry. Because there's not a build up to it. There's not emotional pressure that is involved in that on a different level between Red Sox and Yankees, even if it isn't a pennant chase and it's down the stretch and it's September, October, whatever it was, it wasn't here, it wasn't in this market, and it wasn't against the chief rival. It takes more balls to do it here than it would be in Detroit. It just does. Or Toronto. It just does. It's not the same thing. Don't compare the two. And not only that, that was now years ago. There's a much better, more recent track record, that better, decent sample size. Okay, he's had plenty of starts. He's had plenty of opportunity. And he's been wretched against the Yankees. I'm not denying that. But honestly, I don't care. I care about it in October. If you can tell me he's going to suck against the Yankees the entire regular season, but then he's going to turn into a postseason pitcher in October, I would take that. I would take him sucking all year long in the regular season if I knew he was going to pitch well in the month of October. Late in the year. 617-779-0985. Speaking of which, the Red Sox wasted another Chris Sale start last night, which is very aggravating. We'll get to that next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
2-2 pitch. Line shot into left center field. That is down for a hit. Lamar coming, and that one gets through. It'll go all the way to the fence. That's going to score a couple of runs. Here comes Maurer. He is in. Diving into third, Escobar. And this one getting away here in the eighth inning.
Do you know what I find completely unacceptable? Being 500 in Chris Sale starts this year.
8-8. I couldn't believe that number. 8-8. 8-8.
For as good as the Red Sox have been record-wise, you can easily look at that and say, could have been better. You could have been better. How do you not take advantage of having that guy on the mound?
You'd be 120 win day. Wasting it. Not wasting it, but God, just be a little bit better. And you got a 2-3 game lead. A little bit better. Just a little bit better. And you got a 2-3 game lead instead of potentially playing in a playing game.
Three hits, two runs, seven innings. Does his job. He walked out one guy. He walked one guy. Struck out 11 twins last night.
No wonder he snapped on the ump last week.
I just think that if you look at what he's done for this team, the team has not cashed in on what he's given them, even a little bit. How do you not take advantage of that? How do you not give the guy support? So the question for me about Sale, okay, there's one, the complaint about the team. That's inexcusable. You're 8-8 in his starts, and he's been as good as he has been. That part is obvious. Is there any part of it that makes him angry? Is there any part of it that says, you know, well, this team is not giving me the support when I go on pitch? Or
no.
Is there any part that factors in a free agency for him?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because ultimately when you look at him, you look at the ERA. You look at the numbers. You look at the productive starts. You look at the good quality starts that he's had. And that's all you can do. And I think you have to understand as a starting pitcher, I only control what I control. I'll get you through seven. You want to F up the eight? That's on you. Dombrowski, you want to have no bullpen? That's on you. You want to just have a bunch of regular guys that could just pitch crap innings? That's on you. We got a great closer. I'll get you there. We got nothing in between. We have nothing in between. You sit there and you can bitch about lack of production. I remember the stuff when it happened with Pedro. Pedro would pitch his ass off. You score two runs, one runs, and Pedro starts. A lot. I don't know. It felt that way. It felt that way to me. Numbers probably aren't the same, but...
If you were to project right now, will Chris Sale's next two seasons, not this year, his next two seasons go better than David Price's first two seasons in Boston?
Yes. God, yes.
Wouldn't we all pretty much say yes to that right now?
Oh, God,
I'd say
yes.
Yeah. How could you not if you're based on project? If you're projecting that right now?
Right.
Here's what I'm really hoping isn't the case. I'm hoping that the David Price signing doesn't scare the Red Sox away from signing back Chris Sale, considering he's going to be 30 years old. Is David Price's signing here, which I think on the whole has not been worth it. It hasn't been.
It's not been worth it.
It hasn't been worth it.
Hasn't been close to worth
it. And the fact that he's not worth it now, right? When you sign those giant deals, you say, well, they're worth it in years one, two, three. It's after that where you get he hasn't been worth it in years one, two, and three. Sorry, he just hasn't.
Hasn't.
He hasn't been worth the
performance. You can't argue that he has.
The headaches, he's not worth it. It's a bad signing. If the Red Sox could go back in time, they would not do it. They would not sign him to the deal. Is that going to scare them away from going after pitchers after over the age of 30? That line of crap we got fed about John Lester. They can't pay Lester. He's going to be over 30. The time that you don't pay pitchers when they hit 30.
It won't if he's nails in September and October.
Right.
I hate to say it, but that's what it comes down to with Sale, too.
Oh, with Sale?
No, with Sale going forward.
Okay, but Sale's
if he pitches, if he breaks down at the end of seasons, and he pitched poorly in October last year. So
if
he reverses that this year, it'll help him going forward, and then again, maybe next year, going forward further.
Sample size on Sale, not as great as it is on Price. And furthermore, Sale has pitched well in the regular season, at least. He's been nails throughout the year. I mean, that's better than what you know you get from Price. Mm. Who's the better pitcher, Sale or Price? Sale.
Chris Sale.
Who's had a better time here? Who's had a better Boston career? Short careers. Who's been better?
Sale.
Chris Sale. Those are not even debatable.
No. Just even like the attitude, the approach. Accountability. Chris Sale stinks. I stink. I stunk. I got to be better. Not the team. Me. I got to be better.
Jim, can we hear Alex Cora last night explaining away the eighth inning? Because I saw quotes, and I thought I heard it one way, but maybe he wasn't saying what I thought he said. I'd like to hear it. Can we play the audio? Alex Cora talking about why it was Robbie Scott in the eighth inning last night in Minnesota.
Scott to start that inning. Because we had, that was the perfect situation for him. Ninth hitter, then Joe, then Eddie. That's what he's here for, to get lefties out. And we felt that their ninth hitter, he wasn't going to do damage against him. And whatever, he got Eddie out, but at that point, I made up my mind that, if they're going to score, it has to be against Joe in that spot.
A lot of Joes, two different Joes, Joe Mauer and Joe Kelly. So he went with
Joe Mauer and Eddie Rosario, so he's talking about the beginning.
Right. And then he says he got out Eddie later in the inning.
Yeah, he walked Lamar, the nine hitter, and then he hit Mauer after he had him 0-2. It was 0-2, it got to 2-2, and then he hit him. It barely brushed his shirt, too, by the way.
It doesn't matter. He hit the guy.
Hit him.
Did he hit him or not?
Barely. No, he hit his shirt.
Did he hit him? Barely. Was the batter hit? Did the batter take
the batter
first base? Oh, you jackass.
The baggy shirt on the skinny rail Joe Mauer.
It's never helped Manny Ortiz before.
It was a hit by pitch. He went to first base.
Shirt half
button. He walked the number nine hitter, and then he hit the leadoff guy. And at that point, I'd say, you know what? We shouldn't have brought this idiot in the first place. But now he's got to go. Get him out of the game. I just don't want to see Robbie Scott is what it comes down to. I don't want to see him. They should have gone to Joe Kelly in the eighth inning. Yes, tie game on the road. I get it. I would have done it. And you know my thoughts on Kimbrel. Tie game. I don't like it. I don't like it with closers. Everybody else, fair game. In my mind. Fair game. You can't give a good reason why you went to Robbie Scott. That guy is trash. He got brought up yesterday and pitched the major league level the entire year. Trash. He proved it. You lost the game.
Is this all 100% on Cora, or is this a Dombrowski call?
No, it's not all on Cora. It's not all on Cora.
It's not, that's what he's here for. Yeah. To get lefties out.
Well, he can't do that.
Alex, here's what he's here for.
Here's
what
I'd say, and it sucks because Alex Cora is in a tough spot here because that bullpen has a bunch of guys that are meant to pitch in garbage time. I mean, that's what it is. You've got a bunch of pitchers in that bullpen that you can't rely on. You can't rely on Robbie Scott. Hell, I don't even like the guys that they can rely on. Joe Kelly? I can't stand Joe Kelly, but I got to admit he's been good. They have to use him in key spots.
Here's the argument against Kelly there. If you wanted to use Kelly earlier, Kelly's been really good against lefties this year. I mean, if you wanted to bring him in at the start of the inning. But I still think that's the perfect spot to bring Robbie Scott in. Tie game, number nine hitter, Joe Mauer, who can't hit anymore, leading off.
And what did he do? He walked the number nine hitter and he hit the leadoff guy who can't hit. That's how bad
terrible.
He sucks.
Terrible, yeah. He
that's
pitched
how
terrible.
Bad he is. 6-2 your final after giving up four runs in the eighth.
Didn't Cora have a problem with Robbie Scott and sent him down in spring training?
Yeah, why
he never got back up?
So you think he was trying to prove that he sucks to get
rid
of him?
That's what he's here for, to get lefties out. You know what? We got lefties coming up. Tie game.
You're on to something.
Maybe there's something to it. He did it to sort of show him up and say, you suck, kid. Here's your spot. Tie game on the road. Go pitch.
Or 9-1-2. It to Dombrowski and say, look at Dave. This is what this guy can do.
And he puts him out there against 9-1-2. If that's what he was doing, I'd sort of got to tip my cap to him because it's smart. Because he looked like absolute garbage.
I'm gonna get through this now.
It looks like he doesn't belong in a major league roster and that his spot should be Pawtucket. That's where it should
be. That'd be kind of good if that was Cora thinking it. You know what? We're going to lose this and I'm going to take my licks now, but it's going to be worth it in the long run because I'm doing it to prove a point that we need to fix something. That'd be pretty good of Cora if he could think that out. Even though you know what the ultimate outcome potentially could be.
Because everyone was shocked when he kept Bobby Pointer and sent Robbie Scott down, right? But he said Pointer pitched well.
He wasn't wrong. Pointer did look decent at the start of the year. Looked good in spring training. Robbie Scott, not good. Not good. Hardy has our headline, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. You get some Red Sox thoughts. We could do that. Also, the latest on Kawhi Leonard coming up. And the Celtics have a new practice facility. We'll get to all of this coming up on Zolak
Sports and Bertrand.
Red Sox lost to the Twins in Minneapolis last night, 6-2. Chris Sale went seven innings. He allowed two runs on three hits, but not enough offense, right, Jackie Bradley Jr.?
We weren't able to, you know, score more runs than other teams. You know, obviously, we want to score a lot of runs when anybody's on the mound. So, it's very unfortunate we weren't able to get the win tonight.
The road trip continues tonight. It's the middle of the three-game set. David Price to the mound, 8-4 in the year with the 3.76 ERA. He'll oppose Lance Lynn, who's got a 4-5 record and a 4.98 earned run average. Also tonight, it's the NHL Awards. A couple of Bruins up for a couple of different awards. Bruce Cassidy nominated for the Jack Adams Award for the best coach in the league. And the Selke Trophy. Once again, Patrice Bergeron nominated for the best defensive forward. In World Cup action...
Is Ronaldo around? Ronaldo.
Yes, Ronaldo was around earlier for the only goal in Portugal's 1-0 win over Morocco. Currently, there's the game in progress, Uruguay and Saudi Arabia. I will give you that score here momentarily. It is 1-0 Uruguay. They're in the 30th minute of that match. Headlines are brought to you by Pride Chevrolet, Tony Maserati's dealership. Save big with zero down payment leases available on a new Chevy at Pride Chevy on the Linway and Lynn, pridechevy.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Six 617-779-0985. Paul's in Norwell. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your time there.
What's up?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, I got to admit, as a fan of the Red Sox, I am incredibly frustrated at watching Chris Sale's starts and the lack of run support and the lack of defense and, some of these terrorists we bring out in the eighth inning. It's just... I want to go in the dugout and pull a David Ortiz and bust up the phone. I can't imagine what Chris Sale feels like.
Is it maddening? It's just maddening to watch this over and over again. Why can't they give this guy run support? How do you not show up in those games? Oh, it's obnoxious. Drives me crazy. Meanwhile, Eduardo Rodriguez, it's like they can't lose when he's pitching. Like, oh, let's make sure we show up for Eddie. How about you show up for the guy who gives up two runs a start?
It's got to be like a subconscious thing. It's like when you see defenses playing differently in front of backup goaltenders, it's like, no, of course we're trying to stop it. We're trying to execute. We're doing everything the same every night. But for hitters, like, you know who's on the mound for you. You know what's going to be required to win the game. Like, even if you're not thinking that outwardly, it's got to be in their heads. There's no other explanation for it. Chris Sale goes to the mound, gives you one, two runs over the course of seven innings, and it seems like game after game, they just give him nothing because they figure, it's only get it. I don't have to get a hit.
Should be so excited
really
to get
dialed in here because, well, we're only going to need a couple of runs. Somebody will get him.
Should be so excited to get through three innings and said, let's get this guy a two-run lead, and we got it. We could be on cruise control for the next four innings. Like, that's the guy you should want to get the lead for. I don't know. Maybe you tighten up. Maybe you try too hard.
The pressing. When Chris Sale's.
We talk about hockey. You mentioned hockey, right?
They're squeezing the.
Pressing. Squeezing a stick. Got to put it in the net.
They're squeezing the bat.
Yeah, need to put it in the net.
Squeezing the bat.
Just whiffed on the puck.
Exactly what it is. Squeezing the bat. I just think that he must be getting. I mean, he hasn't been perfect. He's had a couple of bad starts in there. Yeah, that one against Atlanta where he wasn't very good.
Yep.
Okay, he got shelled. I mean, that's on him. That's not on the team. But to be 8-8 and a guy that's got a sub-3 ERA and has pitched well all year, I mean, come on. Give me a break. Got to do something. Got to do something better. Got to give him a little bit more. Just give him a little bit more.
Hide the scissors.
No, don't. Come on now. That was a long time ago.
I know.
That was a long time ago.
Would not blame him.
All right? He has an ERA in, I just want to see how many games. He's got six no decisions. Do you want to know what his ERA is in those games? In his six no decisions. 1.85.
Oh. My God.
1.85.
That would drive me absolutely insane.
In the no decisions. There's six of them this year. That is not good. Not good at all. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. I look at that and say, man, that would drive me crazy. It drives us crazy as fans. How crazy does it drive him? That's what I would say about that. Okay, latest on Kawhi Leonard, by the way. He's going to have a meeting with Pop. Popovich is going to go visit him.
And say what?
What do you say to a guy who didn't want to play for you?
If you know that, okay, this isn't like Brett Brown. This is Greg freaking Popovich, one of the old school coaches in the NBA that is a hard-nosed coach. This is the guy that went back and coached his team after his wife got sick, right? His wife passed away, correct?
Yes, she died from cancer a few months back.
Left it right away and went right back, coached his team. And here's this defiant prick getting paid all this money that doesn't want to play for this guy. Or that team.
Here it is. Multiple reports suggest Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich met Tuesday in San Diego. The meeting had apparently been planned much in advance, before his camp had told the Spurs that he wanted out. And according to multiple reports from ESPN, Kawhi is still mad about various comments that Pop and Spurs players, like Tony Parker, made this season as he struggled to get healthy. So he's mad because they called him out. For not playing.
Didn't they hold like a team meeting to get it to talk to him to try and beg him to come and play? Like that went on towards the end. I think Popovich, screw. We'll find somebody else. I know the guy's good.
So apparently Kawhi went to the memorial for his wife after the season ended, though.
Well, that was
so
nice.
Maybe that helped end a little bit.
Maybe.
Or maybe Popovich is like, hey,
how do you
LeBron's
not go,
coming
though?
Here. Why don't you just stay here?
Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe.
Like
maybe
there's want,
maybe
right.
That's the pitch. We'll get LeBron. We'll bring LeBron here. We can fix this.
I don't know. You always hear this stuff that like these coaches don't change. You know, it's like the Belichick Brady thing. Bill's not going to change. You got to adapt a little bit, but you're not going to give in. Popovich isn't going to give in. Unless he's like, hey, we're at a point. What else I want to do? I got these guys. We can make this work. This team's too talented. It's my job to make this talent work. That's the only other way you could see it, where Popovich is going to cave a little bit. I don't know. This seems weird. These two guys are going to meet and they're going to solve it?
It feels like a long shot. But
yeah.
Stranger things have happened. I bring it up because of this. This is why it's important, why we bring it up. Why do I keep seeing stories about the Celtics possibly making a deal for this guy? Why do I keep seeing those stories? Why is it that I am?
Because you have another point guard with this that's very good with the same exact type contract.
I'm just saying, are they for real? Are they?
I don't know.
They got a real shot at doing this?
Probably not. I would say no. After hearing Kyrie on that podcast, I would say no.
I see these headlines today, like ESPN. Should the Celtics put Jaylen Brown in a Kawhi trade? But is this real? Is this really being talked about, or is this just rampant NBA offseason speculation? Which is fun. I love doing it. But and then I see it's written by Zach Lowe. I mean, Zach Lowe, who's, you know, one of the national prominent ESPN basketball writers now. When an almost 27-year-old MVP candidate becomes available, the entire league takes notice. Most teams picking in the top 10 of Thursday's draft, if not all of them, have at least contacted the Spurs about Kawhi Leonard. Teams outside the top 10, including the Celtics, Lakers, and Clippers, have done the same. Some of those suitors know they don't have enough. The Cavs peddling Kevin Love in their number 8 pick. The Grizzlies with number 4 and Chandler Parsons. The Clippers and their picks, they got 12, they have 13. He says, but in theory, almost no team should pony up its best asset for a player who could bolt in a year. But the story then circles around the Celtics and the possibility of signing and trading Marcus Smart and acquiring Kawhi Leonard without losing Tatum or Brown. That may end up being Boston's approach, and then emptying out all their draft picks. Marcus Smart and a bunch of draft picks for Kawhi. Does that sound far-fetched? That sounds far-fetched to me.
It sounds very far-fetched.
I mean, Zach Lowe's a smarter basketball guy than I'll ever be. I read that, I'm like, what?
I'm a Spurs fan. I'm pissed if I hear that.
No kidding. But, so you're going to get draft
but
picks
you think
and Zach
Morris? Made that up
Morris?
Out of nowhere?
Man, break.
Is that just rampant speculation, or does he know something? Does he know something there?
We're 2 days away from the draft. This stuff, I don't believe much coming out this week.
Okay. All right. That includes Sacramento's pick next season. Assuming it's not a number one pick. It's got protections. Future picks from Memphis. Future picks from the Clippers. And that could be, as he writes, a package of Smart, Rozier, Yabusele for his salary, and Marcus Morris. Plus draft picks, and they could do that? What? Who says no to that deal? I don't even want the guy.
Spurs.
Maybe not. Maybe they like that deal. Maybe there's something attractive about that deal to them. If there is, Danny will have fleeced them, and he will have fleeced another franchise. Rozier, Smart, picks, Yabusele. What? Kawhi Leonard? Even I can get on board with that. And I think that this guy is totally lost. I think it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a new team to get him right. 617-779-0985. I get your calls on the Red Sox, on the Celtics. I also want to mention this new facility they opened up yesterday. Why don't we get to that coming up next?
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly. So I can perfect 985.
Let's go to Jake in Boston before we talk about the new Celtics building. Hey, Jake.
Hey, I really hope Danny Ainge doesn't trade down to draft Luka Doncic, because I think that kid's only good because he's playing against bums. So I hope we draft Grayson Allen with the 27th pick.
What are you doing? Now that you're out for summer.
Hmm?
What are you doing during the summer months?
I'm sorry, what did you say that again?
I didn't know. Like, what are you doing for the summer? What do you got? Are you getting plans?
Oh, I'm going to camp.
Nice. Kind of camp.
That's it. That's where it ends.
Come on.
And he called the possible draft pick kid.
He's going to summer
camp. I like
camp.
That kid.
That kid's going to summer camp.
Kid. There's a kid who called our show. Who's going to camp?
Who's screening the calls?
Who do you think? Who do you think?
This is the worst bet. You know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing
it. At least you had a take. You had a Celtics take.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the take. You couldn't tell when he talked to you. You couldn't tell there was a child.
He's going to camp.
No. Just put anybody up to calls, right?
He's Damn. Going to camp.
Summer's just kick the feet up, man. Get ready for that pizza delivery route.
I go sleepaway camp. I'm going to go to the one where they have the two cabins, but mom's going to bring a fan.
Okay.
To Target to get the sheets.
The 70,000 square foot, 70,000 square foot Auerbach Center opened yesterday in Brighton.
Go to camp.
New Celtics practice facility.
This thing is sweet.
Is open. It is gorgeous.
You know the best thing
about
it?
We haven't been there. We've only been able to live it through everyone else's pictures and videos of it yesterday.
It's nice everybody else went. Yeah,
the
pictures.
The governor was there. The mayor was there.
And Maya Walsh.
The team ownership was there. Brad Stevens was there. They opened the doors.
I think Joe Giza was there.
Right next to New Balance World Headquarters, right across the street from where we're at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Look at this. The Bruins and Celtics open up shop in our neighborhood. We leave the neighborhood.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
It's not like you got guys on a team. I mean,
office space. There's two basketball courts on the top floor. It's nice. I saw some pictures of the locker room, the training facilities, the weight room, all that cool stuff.
The best thing about it, they have a barber chair, an actual old school barber's chair that you sit in, and you can get your fade done after practice or before games. You got a sink there, and you got all the barbicide stuff.
They got a sink there?
No, I'm talking about, you know, they got cool barber thing with the
sink,
that
there,
round thing, and they
and
put the combs in with
there
with the germicide.
And watch Iron Man 1 and 2.
I watch Iron Man 1 and 2, and we got my fade. My hair was fading back.
I saw Jason McKenna walking around a couple of those videos yesterday. Yes. Our old Sports Hub engineer.
You laugh about it.
The Celtics have been on Waltham since 1999.
So everybody's got to move, huh?
That's when they were out there. They didn't own that facility. I don't know what their ownership is with this one, but it's theirs. It's their building, whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah. This makes you want to go to work.
This is like Celtics headquarters going forward, the new training complex that was just opened yesterday. And Brad Stevens talked about it, saying that it could help in the recruitment of free agents.
I believe that.
This is where you will spend the majority of your time when you're here in Boston. We have state-of-the-art everything, you name it. The whirlpools, the weight room, the windows. It's nice. It's brightly lit. How about the 18 they put up on every video board or anything that had any score or any clock on it? Everything was 18, 18, 18, 18.
Yeah, how about
just
banner
18? Little banner 18.
Brad Stevens on the impact of the center opening up, saying it's a huge boost for the recruitment of free agents. Huge boost.
It makes you excited when you're a player because you want to go. We talked to Krug about this when the Bruins thing was done. You want to be there then.
Yeah, no one's going to pick your team based on facility. Though.
They're picking your team for money.
I don't know. If they...
I don't know. Can you say... I don't think you can say that. It's borderline.
You know what? It's the little things like that. You know what it is, Hardy? It's the little things that matter like that to the players. Because everybody's seen a video board room or a Stairmaster or a basketball court or nice hoop. Look at that new scoreboard. Wow. But, man, it's kind of cool. We got a guy, a team that cuts hair. He'd fade that thing every day, man. Get a little bushy up top, shave that down.
Don't forget the sink.
Sink. And the barber side, you got to rinse the comb off. Yeah, tap it on. I tell you what, if you have that musk, that old man musk smell, you know, the one with the guy in the top hat and the cane on the side of the little...
Club man?
Yeah, the club man. You shake that little...
Yes.
That tonic in your hand, you say... It's like Macaulay Culkin at Home Alone. Ah! You put that on a fresh and cut neck.
As they roam the globe, countless flat screens make the building look like a Best Buy. The kitchen is decked out with smoothie machines and ice cream makers.
Oh, Maz would love it.
Made with healthy options.
Thank God Big Baby
is
there.
The lounge has a pool table and doubles as a ping pong table.
Oh, I like that.
Players who need a fresh haircut, there's a barber's chair right outside the locker room.
Bingo.
You could move into this place.
I would never leave. If I was a single guy and I'm there, man, I'd be there all day.
Here's what I think it does.
Watch TV, play games.
Here's what I think it reinforces. You know, no player is going to pick a team based on, oh, they've got a great facility. But you know what this helps do? This helps maintain the image, which is an accurate one. It's not false in any way, that the Celtics are a world-class organization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You go there.
Shows you you're serious.
You make a visit and you say, yeah, you know what? This team's serious. They do things the right way. They spare no expense. They are all about winning. They're all about, you know, being dedicated. They provide the backing, right, the facilities, the, whatever it might be. Oh, wow, this is a really stable operation. This thing is world class here. They don't mess around.
I went to
just sort of reinforces what the Celtics are, yeah, and have always been. They're a historic franchise. They've got winning in the blood. They've got ownership commitment. They've got good coaching. They've got a good GM. And oh, by the way, everything from top to bottom is world class. So I think that part of it is what I think it, and that's probably what Stevens is talking about.
Like, yeah.
No one's going to pick based on, oh, I can get a haircut in my locker room. But it just sort of reinforces what the team is all about. It's an extension of that.
Well, they've been at Brandeis, right?
No, they were at the place up there in Waltham. Right?
What's the name of it? Weren't they at Brandeis for a while, too? Yeah, Health Point. But they were at Brandeis for how many years?
It was years ago, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, I remember doing a remote from down in Orlando a long, long time ago. I was on vacation. I had to go on. I went to the Orlando Magic's facility. You want to talk about a hell? It reminds me of this. Everything was all in their logo. They had their own radio station in there. She could go in. They hooked me right up on an ISDN. Boom. Did the broadcast back. The guys are walking through. They're working out. They got the full kitchen in there. It's like, wow. You just never want to leave buildings like that when it's new, when you build it that way. It's kind of state. And when you have something state of the art, guys don't want to leave. The same way for the Bruins. They have two amazing facilities right across the street over there. And they'll build that up.
I would say
they get restaurants around there.
The Celtics have come a long way for practicing at Hellenic College in the 80s. Like an old beaten down gym. Like Larry Bird and Mikhail would just show up at the high school gym and go practice.
It'd be like Paul Newman out there with that bus. We're going to beat the bus up. We're going to make it nasty. We're going to be nasty. Rough. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Celtics thoughts. Kawhi Leonard being on the block. That is in the conversation as well. Chris Price. That would be David Price, not Chris Price, Patriot supporter. David Price lost his mind again. He's just never happy. Chris Sale not getting run support. And then also Tom Brady, which we will get back to right after these headlines in 90 seconds.